Keep in mind that next Sunday morning, you will have set your clocks back 1 hour as we fall back into daylight savings time, so you'll have an extra hour of sleep. Then we will not have an 8 o'clock service next Sunday morning, because it will be our anniversary Sunday, and we will have a combined adult and teen Bible class here in the auditorium at 9:30, then our worship service at 10:30, followed by a meal together, and then we'll dismiss for the day. And our speaker will be Dr. Billy Smith. And Billy was a classmate of several of us who attended Fried Hardeman together. And he's been a faculty for a number of our members here who have since attended Fried Hardeman. In the last several years, he's been the head of the Bible department at Fried Hardeman. And he and his wife will be with us next Sunday morning. It'll be a great day for us as we celebrate our anniversary Sunday. And don't forget to bring in your grocery bags, and let's get all of those in by next Sunday so we can have the stage area filled. We're going to be talking about something tonight that is an apparent contradiction in the Bible. But it is only apparent. It is not real. It's not there. And it should be a lesson for us with regard to a number of things that are in the Bible like this. And we're going to be entitling it fear. And the word fear comes from the Greek word phobeo. And if you think about that word long enough, you'll see our English word phobia in it. And our English word phobia comes from this Greek word phobeo, which means to fear. Fear. English definition, and coincides with the Greek definition, means to be frightened, to be alarmed, to be afraid. And it also carries with it the idea of reverence, have respect for, or fear. And it's used that way in the Bible, which brings us to the two contradictions. Because what are we to do with God? Are we to fear Him? And yet at the same time, the Bible will tell us that perfect love casts out fear. And it's this word, obeo. So which is it? Is there something wrong with us if we stand in fear of God, and therefore our relationship with God has not grown to where it needs to be, and our love for God is not as strong as it ought to be? And should we therefore have a sense of guilt if we fear God and not have that fear completely removed because of our love for Him? I want you to turn with me to some scriptures. I'm going to put some on the screen. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Malachi chapter 1. We're going to look at what the prophet Malachi, who writes the last book in the Old Testament, has to say to us, and it's really God speaking through Malachi. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, God will say this. A son, by the way, our class for Wednesday night, in our family relationships, is talking about honor and respect. And here God talks about honoring him. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? How did this passage come about like this? What was going on? And what was the thought process of the Israelites? You have a sacrifice that you're going to offer to God. And you have multiple choices. And a lot of those choices that you have would be in direct keeping with what God had requested. No, not requested. What God had commanded in the law. It was to be a lamb without blemish. It was to be a lamb without spot. It was to be a lamb that was perfect. But you know, because you've done this for years, you know, because you grew up watching as your parents did it, and you realize that what's going to happen is you're going to take this lamb down to the temple, and you're going to give it to the priest, and they're immediately going to cut its throat and drain its blood out and sprinkle that blood, and then they're going to burn this sacrifice up completely. And in your mind and in your thinking, what a waste to a perfectly good animal. I have an animal whose blood will flow just as easily and just as quickly, who is blemished. He is lame. I'm not going to be able to get anything for him. Why can't I just offer him? And then as you talk about it among one another, you begin to get the idea that there are others that share the same idea that you have. Why should we do that? God isn't all that concerned. As long as we offer sacrifices to God, he doesn't care if there's something wrong with it a little bit. And next year it can be, he's not concerned if there's a little bit more wrong with it, or a little bit more wrong with it, or a little bit more wrong with it. And he's not concerned about it at all. And God comes to the point now where he's saying, take what you're offering to me and offer it to your governor. And see how happy he will be. So why would you offer something greater to your governor than you would offer to God? I have to tell you, I struggle with this a little bit with regard to how we are dressing down, and how we dress down in a lot of different areas in our culture. And when I think about if we were going someplace where we wanted to show honor and respect, we would be concerned about how we dressed. And I'm not wanting to change anything. I'm not going to put back on the tie. I'm happy to have it off. But I think, and our elders have expressed concern about this to some degree, that especially when we take a leadership role in leading the congregation, that we need to not put on a suit and tie, but remember what we're doing and remember where we are and the point we are taking in our worship and dress for it. As if you were making a speech or making a talk or leading singing in an assembly where you wanted to show respect and dress like everyone else that's there trying to show respect. But this gets back to where God is saying, and he says to the people in the book of Malachi, if I am your God, where's my respect? If I am your God, where is my honor? And this is about the sacrifice they offered. And it would also apply in so many different areas. If we are praying to our God in heaven, where is our attention? If we are singing songs to our God in heaven and we are wanting to honor him, where is our mind? Where is our heart? And what is it that's coming out of our mouths? If he is our great God, and we are here to honor him, then what are we doing as we gather together? And all of that would apply to what God is saying here through the prophet Malachi. Then this passage in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And that word afraid is our Greek word fear, phobia. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid. That's phobia, fear. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is fear a proper emotion to have toward God? Yes. Fear is a proper emotion to have toward our great God who is in heaven. And that raises the question, fear or no fear? Which is it to be? It's in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 that the Bible will write, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, does that tell us that if there's fear in us, there's something wrong with us? Is this fear that God is saying that he wants us to have of him? Is that something that we really shouldn't have if we were truly in love with him? So is there a contradiction here between fear and love? No, there's not at all. And I want you to turn with me, and I want us to read a passage that helps us to clarify it. And then we're going to try to offer some examples. And the passage is the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, deals with this idea of fear. And if you think about what he writes here and what we're going to point out that he says in some other places, I think we can get an idea of exactly what's going on here. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, the Bible writes this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Should you recognize that? Yes. Should you be afraid of that happening? Yes. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because of your own goodness? No. Because of God's grace and his gift of Jesus on the cross. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. If you are living by the Spirit of God, it doesn't make you a slave to be afraid of God. The Spirit, instead of doing that, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When I am following God's will and I am being directed by God's Spirit, I remind myself, I'm doing this because I belong to God. And when I do what I know God wants me to do, there is a sense, not of shame, but of joy, that overwhelms me because I am doing what God wants me to do. Then the next verse. Now, if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul wrote this. Perfect love cast out fear. So then why did Paul write, I buffet my body and bring it under control every day, lest after I have preached to others, I myself would be disqualified. Paul, that sounds like fear. It is. And I want to make sure that every day I'm living by God's will and God's Spirit. And so I buffet my body every day and bring it under control, lest after I have taught others, I myself would be disqualified. Because Paul also wrote, be aware then of the goodness, the kindness, and the wrath of God. To those who did good is kindness. Toward those who did evil is anger and is wrath. Many of us have had children. Did you love them? And everyone who did as they ought to do will nod their head, yes, we love them. Did you ever intentionally hurt them? And if you were the parent you ought to have been, you would nod your head, yes. My mom and my dad who loved me hurt me often. I loved my boys. And I hurt them often. They remind me of that on a constant basis. They also try to tell me they're better parents than I was. Well, actually, only one tries to do that. But I don't let him get away with it. Do you see this? I used to tell my boys, I love you too much to let you get away with that. And that's what God's saying to us. I love you too much to let you get away with that. I love you too much and I love her too much to let you talk to your mother that way. I love you too much and the life that you're going to live in the future to let you talk to me that way. I love you too much to let you do that. And so there's two sides here. And it is not a contradiction. It's the top and the bottom of God's love. It's the two sides of God's love. It's two sides of the same coin. And sometimes the two sides of the same coin can appear to be a contradiction, but they are not a contradiction. And Paul is writing us the truth. If you listen to what God says and you do it, you're going to have a peace and a joy that overwhelms you. Because you are doing what God would have you to do and you know it. But if you're not doing what God wants you to do and you know it and you realize it, there's going to be a shame and a guilt that overwhelms you. And you're afraid of what might happen if I were to meet God in this condition. That's also God's intent. So in order to bring about love, and in order to bring about our devotion to Him, He introduces us to His two sides. And He makes it an everyday part of our life. I'm going to jump a little bit into Wednesday night's lesson. The teachers will forgive me, but I want to do it a little bit. It is amazing to me as I read through the Bible and study it and learn how God has made the male and the female to show the two sides of His love. And to be an illustration of both of them. And I'm not talking about here the punishment and the other, but the two sides of what God wants. God wants you to love Him. If you're struggling with that, God wants you to honor Him. He wants you to respect Him. But there is a sense in which that honor and that love blend together where they can't be told apart. And in the relationship between a man and a woman, the one thing that comes out very quickly is that in order for a woman to feel loved, certain things have to happen that are completely different than from a man. In order for a man to feel love, there are certain things that have to happen. They're completely different from a woman. A woman, we're told in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, is to be loved by her husband. And everything that goes along with intimacy is involved in that love. So if you want to show your wife that you love her without it being a special reason, just because you wanted to, because you were thinking about her, give her some flowers. Send her a card. Write her a note. Hug her. Hold her. Do the dishes for her. Take out the trash. I can go on and on, guys. Y'all can stop me whenever you want to, but we can go on and on with the things that you do to say to her, I love you. Guys, I can go the rest of my life and not receive a single flower and it won't bother me one bit. I can go the rest of my life and not receive a single card and it won't bother me. And it won't be a language saying to me, I am not loved. But what I have to have is respect. What I have to have is to be respected and to be honored. And I'll tell you this, ladies, as important as that intimacy and that romantic love is to you, being respected is just that important to him. And I'll tell you guys, as important as it is for you to be respected and honored, it's that important to her that she be loved. And so God has placed in the male and the female the two sides of his love. He demands to be respected. And when he's respected, he knows he's loved. And when he is respected and honored, joy comes into our lives because we love him. And we show and express that love through the respect that we give to him. So you see this balance. It's not a contradiction. It's a balance of the love we give toward God. God, how can I let you know I love you? Listen to what I say. Honor me. Honor what I say. Hold me as holy. Recognize me for who I am. Pay attention to what I want you to do. And you will have joy in your life. You will have joy in your heart. Because I will give you that joy in response to your love for me. But if you're not doing what I want you to do, there's a reason why you're afraid. If you're not doing what I want you to do, there's a reason why you're ashamed and you fear facing me. And you fear meeting me. There's a reason for it. And both come from the God that loves us. Both come from the God that wants us. Both come from the God that wants us to know he's there. Fear. Love. Respect and honor is how we tell God we love him. If you're not a Christian this evening and you're ready to become one, if you need to come forward to come back to Christ or to have prayers prayed on your behalf, we'll be happy to do that as well as together we stand and as we sing.
My Jesus knows.